Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, as we start out this new month. I want to wish everybody a happy National Atheist Day today, because what is today? It's April Fool's Day, and the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So happy Atheist Day. How about that? All right, we're going to get into a couple of things here today, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon as well. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Also got some other announcements regarding our church to make here today, but let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We do pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to point somebody that's searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just pray that we'd lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And that's the first thing I want to mention here. Of course, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find a number of things that we have there, past programs, some articles and things that I've got, including our latest article, were the Founding Fathers pro-life. And you may be surprised at some of the things. We've talked about this on the radio a little bit too, but I have that article on there, were the Founding Fathers pro-life. Looking at some things in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and then, of course, the legal thought of the day in which our country was founded. So you might check that out. You can find that online at livewithpastoral.com. The other thing that I wanted to mention, of course, here is our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of our program, of course, but it is moving. We have been talking about this, and so I do have to let you know that when it comes to the end of the program and the close, and it talks about the location of our church, if you go there, we won't be there. So we haven't had a chance to get all the things updated with the new address. So if you go to the Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, where we've been meeting, and you don't find us there, it's not an April Fool's Day joke. It's because we have moved. We are now starting tonight with our Friday night Bible study. We will be meeting at 4174 Wheatley Road, and that's in Richfield, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And it's a little commercial building that's there. And if you are coming off from 77, it's just a short distance, also right off from 271. We are south of the turnpike, about 4 miles. It's about 4 miles from where we were at. We've been meeting, as many of you know, for the last 13 years, we've been meeting temporarily at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And I really do want to thank the people, the folks out at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express for being so accommodating to us over the last 13 years, providing us a place to meet. We've been using their meeting room. Prior to that, we had rented a building. The owners lost the building, and we had to find a place to meet, and we wound up temporarily in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and that lasted temporarily for 13 years, and now we've moved into a commercial space, and we're excited. And so if you care to visit us, like I said, it's at 41 7-4 Wheatley Road. We'll be in Suite 200. We don't have a sign out on the building or anything yet, so but you'll be able to see where we're at. It's not too hard to see. As you pull up to the building, we're the second unit from the left-hand side as you face the building. And but to just go online. You can look for us on the maps or our website for the church. If you go there, just remember, go to livewithpastoral.com. You can link to all this information. You'll find it there, and you can find out where we're at. All right, but we'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock for our Friday night Bible study, and then we'll be there Sunday morning, bright and early. We have our 11 o'clock service. I'm currently preaching through the book of 1 Peter. And then at 6 o'clock, we have our evening service, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And then, of course, Friday night is an open, informal Bible study. And you get to bring your questions and about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, just like we do on our program, especially our Sunday night program. If you're not familiar with our Sunday night radio program, we're on every Sunday night right here on AM 1220 The Word from 11 o'clock until midnight. We have an hour-long program, and that's where we actually started with the hour program. This program here on Friday afternoons was actually added sometime later, but we welcome your questions. It's like I said, our Bible study tonight is informal, and we've got some tables and chairs and everything all set up, ready to go. And after we get done here with the program, we're probably going to be going there, making some last-minute preparations and cleaning and things like that, getting ready for tonight. So kind of exciting. And we're hoping and praying that we can have a dedication service. I believe we're going to do that in May. We'll have more information about that as we get closer to that. We'll have a dedication service, and we'll have a special dinner following the morning service and everything. So, again, remember, the church has moved. Richfield Bible Baptist Church is now meeting at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. And we'll be glad to see you and look forward to what God has for us as we move into this new facility. All right, well, let's get back to what I started the program with as well. I said Happy Atheist Day, National Atheist Day, and I started using this many, many years ago. My wife and I were missionaries on deputation wound up church planting in the Samoan Islands. We planted a church in American Samoa back in the 1990s, and somewhere around when I was on deputation, I was at a church, I think it was somewhere in Maryland, I believe it was, in Western Maryland. And while I was there, I was talking with the pastor. He had a sign out front that he used to put different things up. And he told me that one time he saw this phrase, National Atheist Day, with Psalm 14 there with it. And he put that on his sign, and he said he had more calls and actually complaints over that sign than any other sign that he had. He had signs, they were pro-life signs. He had signs about other issues up. He had Bible verses and different sayings and things that were up there. But he said that one Happy National Atheist Day got more response than anything else. And some people took offense at it. And I thought, well, hey, you know, what's wrong with that? The Bible clearly says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And that phrase is actually repeated a second time over in Psalm 53, in verse 1, where it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God again. Now, both of these passages have a little bit more added to it. Psalm 53:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. And again, in Psalm 14, it has much the same thing, a little bit different in the wording. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That much is identical, but a little bit different, where it says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And so I thought about this at various times, and since today is April 1st, I thought, what a great day to address this issue a little bit. And it's not that it's saying that somebody is unintelligent, that somebody has no education or anything like that when it says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. This is not a statement in regards to intelligence. I can remember my dad saying that person had to go to college. You just can't get that dumb on your own. But it's not so much a measure of intelligence here. There's some very intelligent people who are atheists who deny the existence of God. Now, you have to remember, there are people who believe in God. They may or may not be saved, and those people could be divided into a couple of groups. There's a technical differences between them, but deist and theist. And I'm not talking about getting into like the Hindu or Buddhist religions, polytheists, and things like that, where we're looking at some of those things. But I'm talking about here. In regards to the God of the Bible, and you have either the theistic or the deistic position, both of them recognize that God exists. Classical theism, God is depicted as being separate from but also active in the universe, meaning he not only created the universe, but he actively maintains and involves himself, injects himself from time to time, which would be where I'm at, because we know that that God has entered into the universe, certainly in the position or the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also he's performed miracles, which would be times where God has gotten involved in the things that were happening in the creation. And then there's classical deism, where God is depicted as being separate from but not active in the universe. And of course, when we look at this, then you have atheism, which is without God. And this is the idea that God does not exist. There is no such thing as God. And then there's another group called agnostic, and an agnostic basically says, I either don't know or don't have enough information, or for whatever reason, I can't tell whether God exists or not. Personally, I think the agnostics are more intellectually honest than the atheists. Atheists, how do you know God doesn't exist? How can you prove it? Even if you don't see any evidence of him here, how do you know that he isn't there? And you don't see him here in this corner of the universe. How do you know he's not somewhere active in another part of the universe? If God is, well, we can go through a variety of scenarios with that, but essentially the atheist is being very intellectually dishonest. They're saying they know, they absolutely know that God simply does not exist. Well, the reality of it is, they consider evidence and things to say this is the reason why we believe God doesn't exist. But ultimately, like a deist or a theist, somebody who believes that God exists, they are making a statement of faith. They're ultimately saying, I believe God does not exist. And see, that's why the agnostic is a little more intellectually honest, because the agnostic is saying, I just don't know. And sometimes it's a case of, I just don't care. I've talked with some people who claim to be atheists. I remember a friend in college, when I was in college, secular college, and he claimed to be an atheist, but he very much believed that God existed. He believed that God was an angry old man sitting on a cloud just waiting to strike you down for something you did that got him upset. So he had a very profound belief in God while calling himself an atheist. And he really wasn't. He was being intellectually dishonest. He was not an atheist. He just had a bad or misinformed view of who God really is. So For people who believe that God exists, we have reasons for this. I saw a chart one time, and just touch on this real quick here before I move into what I was going to say. In addition to atheism and deism and all that we were talking about, some people, and this is where your atheist usually would come in, materialism or naturalism. This is a group where God is portrayed as being non-existent. This is where you would find your atheists. And as I said, I wasn't really so much talking about the Buddhists or the Hindus and the people who believe in lots of gods and gods involved in nature and all that, and the people who worship the earth, Gaia worshipers. They fall into a category called pantheism. And pantheism is essentially where God is a part of the material universe, you know, where you become united with God and you merge into the nothingness of the universe. I'm just not getting into that part right now. But looking at this idea, especially in Western society, where you've seen a lot of materialism or naturalism that has tried to replace the belief in God with an atheistic position. And this is why people favor, for instance, evolution. I remember when I was at Colorado State, my senior year forced biology class, after going through various reasons for the evolution of various biological systems in a forest ecosystem, and the development over years of the successive growth, where we go from certain types of species to other types of species as the forest develops, and just different things like that, and all presented from an evolutionary standpoint. I remember our professor at the end of the semester basically saying that it comes down to this: it's either special creation or it's evolution. And then, in a moment of candid honesty, he said, "I choose to believe evolution because I don't want it to be special creation." And he was being honest. And that's where a lot of your naturalists or materialists are, people who profess to be atheists. They choose to believe, just like my professor chose to believe in these things, because they don't like the alternative. They don't like the thought that there may be a God, and that they may be answerable to that God, and that that God may have something to say about how they conduct their lives. They don't want to be answerable to a creator. And so that's why they go to great pains sometimes to try and promote some sort of naturalistic way of the universe popping into existence from nothing. Which, of course, what some physicists will say, nothing is really something because of the quantum forces and everything. And if you can't understand that something is really nothing and that nothing is really something, and if you don't understand why when they say that, you say, well, there's nothing there, they say, well, right, exactly, that's why there's something there. It's just because you're not educated enough. I actually heard somebody say that, and he wrote a whole book with that premise in mind. I like what I believe it was David Hunt said one time. He said, you have a choice between an eternal something with unlimited potential or an eternal someone with unlimited power. And that's basically what it is. I was talking with a guy who claimed to be an atheist one time, and he said, what do you believe happened? What do you believe is the origin of everything? And I said, God, who eternally existed, always existed, had no beginning, had no origin, he just always existed. At one time, for his own reasons, he spoke everything into existence. And the guy kind of smiled and rolled his eyes and chuckled. And then I said, so what do you believe? And he said, well, I believe that the singularity, which always existed, it had no origin. And basically, some reason unknown to us, don't know exactly why, it exploded and created everything that existed. And I laughed, and he looked at me funny, And then he realized that we were both saying somewhat the same thing, only he was looking at an eternal something with unlimited potential, creating everything that exists that we see, and I was talking about an eternal someone with unlimited power creating everything that we see. And so that's really what it boils down to. And we don't have the time to get into all the arguments and everything, but there are arguments for the fact that the universe has not always existed the way that it is. Physics would discredit that. The things that we know in physics and all would discredit that. One simple way to understand that the universe has not existed forever is that all the light of all the stars that are so distant that we can't see would have arrived at Earth by now, or at least a good many of them would. So nighttime would be just as bright as daytime from the combined starlight of all those stars being here. That's one evidence. And also the universe is stretching, and some people have argued that if the universe was eternally existing a long time ago, an infinite number of years ago, we would have reached the point where we wouldn't be able to see anything else in the universe other than right where we're at. That's some other things. But let me go over to Psalm 19. This is one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 19, this is, I believe, why God says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. It's not that they're unintelligent. It's that they are willing to ignore what is obvious because they don't want it to be. And in Psalm 19, it says, starting in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words unto to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run his race, or run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit from the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. This is general revelation. There's enough when you look up in the sky, you look at the night sky and the stars, you look in the sky and you see the sun's movement in the sky, or apparent movement because of the rotation of the earth. You see the clouds moving in the sky, and you see the birds flying. There's enough to tell us that God exists. When you look at the earth and you look at the oceans and the different things that we have on the earth, it shows his handiwork. Exactly like when you travel somewhere. I remember going somewhere and finding an old building out in the woods, just abandoned. It had been abandoned for probably 20, 30 years or more. And I didn't look at it and say, oh, some trees fell down in this particular arrangement and by chance made this. I looked, I saw evidence of design. It showed that somebody built it, even though it was in disrepair. And he says, day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night show it knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. There's nowhere in the world where you cannot see evidence of a creator. And then we see some special revelation here in this passage here. Well, before I get into the special revelation, I may run out of time, but in verse number 5, four and five, where it talks about the sun running a race, people look at that and say, oh, well, that's wrong. The earth moves around the sun. How can the sun be running a race? But they forget that the sun actually moves at about 143 miles a second as it orbits the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And other suns are running this race as well, some at slightly different speeds. The Earth is moving at about 18.5 miles an hour around the sun as the sun is racing around in a great circuit from the ends of the heavens around the Milky Way galaxy. And nothing there we see is hid from it. And this is evidence of the world in existence. We don't have time to get into it. We're coming up on the end of the hour. But in verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This is the special revelation that tells us who God is. The heavens declare his glory, and the firmament shows his handiwork to tell us there is a God. The word of God tells us who that God is and how to trust him. Trust Christ as our Savior, the Creator God. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.